Cape Talk, New Beginnings.
In our New Beginnings segment, in general, we focus on individuals who've created change in their lives by starting anew and not allowing their circumstances to determine their futures. 18 years ago, challenging circumstances forced 35-year-old Ferdinand October to drop out of school and take up work collecting shopping trolleys at a large supermarket chain. Later this year, he'll be graduating from one of the country's leading culinary schools and has a permanent job as a chef de partie at the Lord Charles Hotel near Somerset West. It's a story of hard work, true determination, and a strong will to succeed. So I'd like to welcome fondly to the show Ferdinand October. And welcome to the show, Ferdinand.
Thank you, Ari.
And with you, Chef Ashton, the newly appointed corporate executive chef for Capsicum.
Thank you. Welcome
to the show, too. Let's start at the beginning. Tell us a bit about your story when you had no choice to drop out of school and where the journey began.
I actually started working at Pikampay when I was in Standard 9, Grade 11 at the time. It came matric. I wasn't matric, but circumstances at home was like tough, man. So I had to make this. And the only person who was working in my house was like my father. At the time, my sister was still staying with us, the one that's married now, and I still have two other sisters as well. So I was the only one working besides my father. So what I decided to do is, because the circumstances were so tough, I decided to drop out of school and work like weekly as well. So that's what I did. But luckily my sister, at the end of my matric year, I actually dropped out in my matric year. So at the end of my matric year, my sister also started working at the supermarket, and which brought like some relief. But I was determined to finish school as well. So I talked to my parents and I told them that I do want to finish matric. So the next year I went back to school and I actually finished my matric year. Yeah.
Amazing. Now, you were working with collecting trolleys at the Pick and Pay,
yes.
But you went on quickly to become a cleaner after that.
Yes.
And then tell us about when opportunity struck. What was that moment when there was a section, the bakery section, welcomed you into their department?
Yeah, when I was cleaning, I always was standing there looking at the bakers while they were busy mixing those, just seeing the flour and the pre-mixes, water, all of that, they just throw together and then this dough being formed. And then after that, working it away and forming breads and rolls and all of that beautiful stuff. So that actually fascinated me. Yeah.
And you knew that you wanted to be involved in this, right?
I wanted to be involved, yeah.
So how did you make that happen?
Yeah, so I actually told the bakery manager that I dearly want to come work in the bakery section. So he told me whenever there's opportunity, he will grab me. So that happened, and I started working in the bakery.
Tell us a bit about that journey. So you quickly worked your way up to be the baker's assistant. Is that correct?
Yes. They saw my determination. I was curious a lot. I asked a lot of questions, and they actually let me work on the tables with the bakers, so.
Okay, so you have an obsession, I believe, with dough. Is this correct?
Yes.
What is your obsession all about? What is it? Is it about the perfect consistency? What is it?
Yeah, everything. It starts from the mixing. Yeah, if your mixing is not right, your end product is not going to be right. You will have this flaws. Your bread is going to have holes in. It's like science. When everything comes together, when mixing, so there's a lot of stuff that you need to take in consideration. The water temperature, the temperature around you, the dough temperature, the final dough temperature. It's a lot of stuff, man. So all of that stuff getting together and the end result, seeing the end result, it's just amazing, man. Because if you mess up one place, then
That's
you
it.
Won't have the end result you are looking for. So
a very specific
yes.
Art. Now, you then went on to a bakery skills program. Tell our listeners who might not be familiar with what CETA is and what you learned there.
All right, yeah, this is something that my job sent me for. I asked them if there's opportunity for me to go there, that they must send me. So I actually asked my coordinators, because they were the people who decided which people to send. So yeah, they saw I was working and I really wanted to do this. So they called me and said, "Listen here, Ferdy, for the next group, we're gonna send you with." So once I got there, because I had a lot of questions about the doughs and all of that stuff, because some stuff that you do on your own, you ask the people there, this one will tell you, "Listen here, this is what you need to change." Maybe something that you don't get right, "This is what you need to change," and this person will tell you that. And I knew the CETA program, there are people that they specialize in these products. So when I got there, I met this guy, Marius Pasquale, and I had a lot of questions for him. Yeah. So yeah, they basically teach you the finer things. All of it, from the mixing, the dough temperatures, the water temperatures, all of that they taught you in detail. Yeah,
honing your skills.
Yes.
So you returned to Pick and Pay after that, is that
yes.
correct? And then did you have a different position, or were you in the same position?
Same position, and I just worked like for a year and a half, and then they promoted me to a baker. So yeah, I worked as a baker for a year and a half, and then there wasn't personnel on the confectionery side for quite a few times. Yeah, so my manager came to me and asked me that they want me to help that side. So I started working that side, and I got fond of working with pastries as well.
Mm, yeah. Very specialized.
Yes.
So even though you were climbing the ladder, at what point did you realize that you needed to resign in order to progress further in your career and that you needed to study more?
Yeah, when it came to me knowing everything in the bakery, from I can walk in this Pick and Pay or whatever Pick and Pay, and they can just tell me the production and I can do all of that. But I wanted to learn more. But there was this, can I say now, benchmark?
Mm.
Yeah, that I've reached the roof of them, and there was no progression anymore. So I actually wanted to learn more. So I had to make this decision. Am I going to follow this passion that I have? And how am I going to go about all of this? Yeah. So that's when I decided to quit my job.
But when was that? What year was that?
That was in 2016.
So now this must have been a very difficult decision for you. You're a father.
Yes.
You're the main breadwinner in
yes.
your family. How did you deal with leaving your job and studying again?
Yeah, I first had this plan. And I drew up this plan, and I thought to myself, I went to HR first to find out how much provident money I'm going to get, and I found out about the course, how much the course is going to be. I still had debts at that time, which needed to be paid, so all of that still needed to be paid.
Mm.
So I was quite a lot of money still short. So yeah, I told my parents, this is what I want to do, and I know they would have expected some money from me that time. So, but I told them, and they were standing behind me on their decision, and told me, "My child, if this is what you want to do, go for it." Yeah. Even though we didn't have much, me getting that lump sum of money, yeah. So, yeah, I could have spent it on my children or spend it on them, which I wanted to do, but without their blessings go ahead, I wouldn't feel comfortable of doing that thing. Yeah. So I approached them and I told them. And so I quitted Pick and Pay. I got my money. I paid off some of my debts. I still have some of the debts left. Yeah. So, yeah. And I was this lump sum sort. And I started working again at a supermarket. I reached out to Facebook. All of my friends send them messages. I'm telling them, "Listen, I need to raise this amount of money because I want to do this course." So, yeah. And they actually helped me a lot. Yeah. So I baked from home. I worked, yeah, and then I embarked on the course that I did by Capsicum, yes.
So let's bring you in, since you mentioned the course at Capsicum. Chef Ashton, who is the newly appointed corporate executive chef for Capsicum. Tell us a little bit about what Capsicum is and what it offers.
Okay, well, Capsicum is the largest culinary institute in South Africa, consisting of different campuses. We have 6 campuses all over the country. And what we do is we focus mainly on the culinary side. So when it comes to the cooking, we look at our certificates, which is a shorter course. Then you have a diploma. We have a diploma in patisserie, which is what Ferdy did, mainly patisserie and baking. And now we've got the newly appointed QCTO program as well.
What is that?
The QCTO program is a 3-year program where you start from the very basics, how to cook basically, moving on further to your diploma, where you're now looking at how to plate, what makes it different from a cook and a chef. We do the patisserie as well, and then after that's more supervision. So if you're looking at doing a supervisory role like your sous chef or your head chef, what it takes to actually to do that role. So how to work with people, how to get people, sounds wrong, but how to get them to do what you want, right? But to keep the peace sort of thing.
Tell us a little bit about Ferdy. Can I call you Ferdy?
Yeah.
Ferdinand, and his skill in the kitchen.
Honestly, when he started, and he's going to get a big idea. Now, when Ferdy started, it was one of those that... The orientation, they had to, just a fun program, they had to do a pizza. You know, it's just like a get him into the kitchen sort of thing. And immediately I noticed Ferdy, the way Ferdy was actually doing the dough and how he was working with, how putting these things together, you immediately saw, okay, there's something special here. After that, I mean, he went to the patisserie course, and whenever they asked for anything, open days, these are all voluntary things, whether it was open days or we had functions that we needed someone, Ferdy volunteered like that. I mean, he was there. If he was actually training quite a bit of his peers in class while the lecture was busy, and he'd take over and actually go up to them and show them a different way of doing it. So you'd have the lecturer showing the proper way to do it, and like sticking to this is how you do it, this is what we do in industry. And then Ferdy would come with his little short techniques, like the shortcuts, and you saw how quickly he got the rest of the class to grow. I mean, he's very well liked in his class. That was crazy. Normally you have these little cliques in class, not Ferdy. Everyone liked him. So it was very easy to work with him. If there's open day, you know what's Ferdy doing that Saturday? You think he can help? It was that sort of vibe.
So instantly determined and keen to be involved.
Yeah,
I mean,
definitely.
Hours are baking hours are obviously long and a huge commitment. Did that put you off at all, or was it something that you embraced?
I loved what I doing, so whatever it took, to learn these skills, I was up for it. Yeah, so doesn't matter. I worked pick and pay for 10 years straight, just night surf, and that would be like from 12 o'clock, not 12 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
To 11 o'clock the next morning. Yeah, sometimes we start at 12. Easter times we start at 8 in the evening till 8 the next morning. So yeah, I did it. Yeah, because I wanted to learn and I wanted to do good.
And when you were studying at on your course, was it also long hours? Would you stay longer? And
yes, if whenever there was a need, I would always like offer to do the extra. Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about your new position at the Lord Charles.
Lord Charles.
When did you start, or have you started?
I've started.
When did you start?
Just after my practical finished. Yeah, but during my time there, they approached me, the chefs, and asked me if I would consider working there. So they talked to me, and then I said, yes, fine, yes. Then I don't have to go look for work much now.
Wonderful.
So, yeah, and I told them yes. And as soon as my practical finished there, they employed me as a permanent chef de partie. Yeah.
So what is a chef de partie, for those listeners who don't know?
We form... I'm a part of we are quite a few people working in the pastry room. You get your commis chefs and all of the people, your demi chef, your commis chef, and chef de parties. And so I'm a chef de partie, then you get a senior chef de partie, and then it's a a sous chef. So yeah, we are part of a line of workers, if I can call it like that. Yeah.
Okay, and getting prepping and preparing each
yes.
day. And are you specifically in the patisserie section, or is it general?
In the patisserie section, just yes.
Okay, so that is your speciality.
Yes.
And what are your goals in the kitchen for the future?
I want to become a sous chef. Yeah, so I wanna run the pastry section. So yeah, I'm willing to do the hours, to do all the effort that it needs to take. So yeah,
we've got some questions that have come in from listeners, which both of you can answer. For you, Ferdy, what would you say is your speciality in the patisserie kitchen, and what is a challenging bake that you still feel you'd like to master?
Chocolate.
Ah.
Yeah. Knowing how, because you can do sculptures, there's such a lot of things that you can do with your normal chocolate. Yeah, the tempering, all of that stuff. I'm still new to this, so I want to learn more about that. Baking in all, I love it. Yeah, what I've learned, which I didn't learn at Pick and Pay when I came to do this, is because I'm used to working with doughs and all of that stuff, and we get this pre-mixes and stuff, so... Yeah, you know the gluten that develops in dough, that is the thing that gives like bread and stuff like that structure, keeping it in shape. But to come and learn that eggs actually also give structures to things like in a creme brulee and in cheesecakes, yeah. So taking care of the eggs in there, it's all fascinating stuff for me. So yeah.
Here we go. Here's a question for you, Chef. What are the four things always in your refrigerator and in your pantry for baking? And that's from Delia in Southfield.
I'd say for me, it would be definitely your flour. Obviously,
okay.
Like you said, to give that gluten, give that strength.
Mm.
And then I've got a very sweet tooth. So there's always some chocolate. That's a given.
Mm. Specific also, chocolate or any chocolate?
Honestly, when it comes to baking, for me, any chocolate.
Okay.
I know most chefs are going to shoot me out there for saying that, but I've got that sweet tooth. Other ones. You're definitely going to need, I know people have the reservation on this, but a good salt, right? Especially something like a rock salt, because you've got the sweetness contrasting with the rock salt. Very nice as well. I like that.
Mm.
And then I'd say eggs, always eggs. I always say a kitchen without eggs is a kitchen that should shut down, because it does so much in baking. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's like that magic ingredient.
There you go.
Here's a question. What has been your most important kitchen lesson? From Andy. That's a nice question. Maybe both of you can answer that one. Your most important kitchen lesson. For some, it's not to go in it. but tell us what yours is. Let's start with you, Ferdinand.
Follow the recipe. Yeah, recipe is there to guide you, so just stick to the recipe. Don't try to take like too much shortcuts. Don't try and jinx the recipe. Just follow the recipe and the procedure, and yeah, practice makes perfect at the end of the day.
That's true.
You will flop, but you will get there eventually.
Don't give up.
Never.
And what about you, Chef?
For me, I'd say always have a notebook and a pen. In life, it's illegal to steal a lot of things, but the one thing you can steal is with the eye. So steal information. I mean, when your chef says something, write it down. I got taught by a very well-known chef one day that the bluntest pencil is sharper than the sharpest mind, and it's something I've always lived by.
Very interesting. Very good advice. Here's a question. I think it's a cooking question from the WhatsApp line. I'm really struggling to get a panna cotta right. Either it doesn't set properly or it sets like putty. I assume I'm getting the gelatine quantity wrong. I've been using sheets. Should I rather try powder? It's an interesting question for desserts. What would you like to answer?
Yeah, when we make panna cotta, we use the gelatine leaves.
Mm-hmm.
So you just need to get the ratio right. If it's like putty, if it doesn't set, then it could either be that you threw into less gelatin. But there's a procedure that you need to follow when it comes to gelatin. Yeah, you need to bloom the gelatin. Bloom it in cold water and then melt it. Don't melt it at a too high of a temperature, because then you also, the setting ability, you let that decrease.
Mm.
So, yeah, and if it's too putty Yeah, then most probably too much gelatin.
Okay.
Yeah, so getting the quantities right, I think.
Follow the recipe
follow
once
the
again.
Recipe, hey?
Also, just watch out for acidic. If he's going to make like something like a citrus panna cotta, be careful of acidity. Acidity tends to break up your gelatin as well. So things like pineapple or pawpaw or citric, grandala. Well, grandala works quite well, actually.
Okay.
But your citrus also tends to break down the gelatin, and that's when it's become this little lumpy substance.
Okay, so you need to be careful of what fruits you use.
Yeah.
Okay. What about advice that you could give to young bakers who might be listening out there who want to get into this business?
Practice makes perfect. Just whatever thing you had in mind, just go for it.
It's quite a tough business, though, isn't it? And it's difficult to be in a big kitchen and not to kind of be disheartened. I mean, when you watch all these cooking programs on television, often the chefs are they seem so scary. Have you encountered this, or is it?
Yeah.
How do you deal with that?
Yeah, that is just part of the kitchen. At the end of the day, the work needs to be done. So, you must just move on. If you mess up somewhere, or they scream at you or whatever, you just need to get past that, and the job needs to get done. So
you just got to keep your eye on the ball of dough.
Yes.
What is your advice for young chefs?
My advice is when they start, you know what? You're in the learning process, and you can't learn when you're talking. So when you're starting out, keep your head down. The only words you should hear or be able to say is, yes, chef, oui, chef, I'm sorry, chef. That's about it. And just learn as much as you can. Don't try and grow too fast. Mm. I mean, you should, as a chef, you're learning from the very beginning. And no matter how much you study in college, that's only a basis or fundamentals for industry. So when you get into industry, you know what? Keep your head down and learn as much as you can. Don't try and talk back. Just take it. We chef, I'm sorry chef, and learn from your mistakes.
And keep that pencil on hand.
There we go.
Just a final question before we say goodbye to you. First of all, we'd kept talk commend you for your determination your grit, and wish you well on your journey and your new job.
Thank you.
Looking back on your path that you've traveled, do you have any regrets or anything looking back?
I was very, very afraid of embarking on this, doing everything that I did, quitting my job. It was a scary thing. I prayed a lot, and even the day when I had to go register myself, pay my first deposit by Capsicum, I need to take a taxi, and I prayed, and I said to the Lord, Lord, please, if this is not for me, give me a sign, let the taxi wheel fall out or let the trains be late or something. But I don't regret anything. It's just hard work, but if you want to succeed, you have the will to succeed, you can succeed.
Wise words. Thank you so much to our guests today, Ferdinand October and Chef Ashton at the newly appointed corporate executive chef for Capsicum. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you.